Hi.
Across.
What's that?
What's with the stop and talk?
Just what it says, hoping that people stop and talk about spiritual things.
Oh, cool.
My name's Tony.
Nice to meet you.
And you are?
Allie.
Allie? Do you have any particular spiritual beliefs?
I was raised Catholic.
Wait, I was too. Yeah.
Now I kind of don't practice. I just kind of be a good person.
Yeah. So, according to Allie's definition, what's a good person?
Just someone that tries to do more good in the world than bad.
Yeah.
Treat others, golden rule, kind of stuff.
Treat others like you would like to be treated.
Yeah, et cetera.
Yeah.
Don't treat others how you would not like to be treated.
Yeah. Jesus once said, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Now, I'm 54, and I'll admit, in 54 years, I have not lived a perfect day in my life. But that's his standard. His standard of moral goodness is moral perfection, because he's God, he's perfect. Mm-hmm. So anything less than perfection would be a standard beneath God. He would cease to be God if his standard was like ours. Mm-hmm. So, having been raised in the Roman Catholic religion and now not practicing that, what do you think happens to Allie when Allie dies?
I don't know. I feel like I'm not supposed to know. Like, you can't know. Like, you can believe in what you want, but mm-hmm. I don't know yet. So, very ambiguous. I feel like as long as I do good, then, like, however it's supposed to end, if it ends well, like, if there's a life after death,
yeah,
it'll end well. But, like, if not, then I just lived a good life.
Yeah. So, I'm sure you're familiar with, obviously everyone's familiar with what happened with Molly Tibbetts.
Yes.
Yes. I think you and I both agree that what happened to her should not have happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was despicable on every human level.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think about the death penalty, but I think the man who killed her deserves the death penalty. Okay, it's that egregious, mm-hmm. that egregious of a crime.
I could agree, but I don't agree with people who get the death penalty who don't deserve it.
I too.
And so
right.
I don't.
Our system's imperfect.
Yes.
And there have been, certainly, we cannot deny the fact that there have been people who have been wrongly put to death under that system.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
Yeah.
What if the man is found guilty of murdering Molly? And I think any reasonable person would believe he's going to be found guilty. You know, we certainly don't know all the evidence, and what they're telling us is mm-hmm. not everything. The investigation's ongoing.
Yeah.
But I was a deputy sheriff for 20 years in Los Angeles, and my professional experience tells me that this man's going to be found guilty of the crime.
Yeah.
So he's standing before the judge on the day of sentencing. He's found guilty. He's admitted to everything except the actual killing. He's claiming that he blacked out. And forgive me if I'm bothering you with details. I'm not trying to be morbid.
Mm-hmm.
My family is grieved for the Tibbetts family, and my daughter's a student here, and so it's impacted her quite a bit. But he's standing before the judge on the day of sentencing, and the judge says, what do you have to say for yourself? I'm about to impose sentence. And he says, Your Honor, I admit it. I admit that I did what's wrong. I'm really, really sorry. I'm going to try to do good from here on out, and I think you ought to let me go on that basis. I'm going to do my best to see that my good outweighs my bad. I'm going to do my best to make up for this. So I think you ought to let me go. And the judge ponders it for a moment. Molly's family's there. The place, the courtroom could be packed with friends. And she seemed like she was a well-liked, well-loved young lady. And everyone in that courtroom is expecting one thing. Justice. They're expecting the judge to do the right thing in this case. And the judge thinks about it for a moment, and he says, all right, you're free to go. Do you think justice would have been served?
No.
No, I agree. I agree, because we have law, there are penalties for violating the law. And to arbitrarily decide to let someone go simply because they promise they're going to try to do better is a travesty of justice. I don't think that judge should be sitting on the bench. When we die and stand before God, who is the supreme judge and lawgiver, he's not going to let us go simply because we think our good outweighs our bad, because we've all violated his law. I'm sure you're like me. You've probably told a lie. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you stole something as a little girl, or you borrowed something and didn't return it. Maybe you cheated on a test at some point in your life. I don't know. Maybe you took God's name in vain. Maybe you harbored bitterness or resentment towards someone, harbored hatred in your heart, which God sees as murder. Maybe you've been selfish in some way. Now, I've done all of those things and more. All of us have broken God's law. All of us have fallen short of His glory. So He's not going to simply let us go because we think we're good enough to be let go, because our good outweighs the bad. We think our good outweighs the bad, especially when God has already determined that His standard of goodness, the only one in the end that matters, is moral perfection, which none of us live up to. Okay? So let's go back to that courtroom again. And let's say this time it's Allie who's on trial for something. I think the Molly Tibbetts court trial, I think at this point, I think it just becomes too graphic and too hard to see beyond based on the analogy I'm going to share now. So we're going to put Allie in court.
Okay.
And you've broken the law, and the judge decides that the law says that it's a death penalty case. Mm-hmm. And it's not a case of mistaken identity. It's not a jury that couldn't discern the facts. It's not a corrupt system. Allie actually admitted to committing the crime, and the evidence is there. You are rightly found guilty. So let's take all of the possibilities out.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the judge sentenced Allie to death. And unlike in our system today, where someone who's sentenced to death gets 20 years to appeal their case, meanwhile getting a free education and conjugal visits and everything else they want at our expense, you're going to be whisked into the next room where you're going to be strapped to a gurney and put to sleep like a stray dog. But as they're taking you away, the judge stands up from behind his bench. He takes off his robe of authority. He steps down and he says, "Allie, I have rightly found you guilty of breaking the law. And the sentence is death. But I'm going to take your sentence upon myself. I'm going to take the punishment you rightly deserve, so that you can go free. The requirements of the law are still going to be met, but they're going to be met against me instead of you." Mm-hmm. What would you think of the judge?
It's very unselfish.
Yeah, sure, certainly. And Allie, that's a picture of what God did. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Truly God, truly man, without sin. Things you've heard in the Roman Catholic Church. Born of a virgin, just as the prophet Isaiah declared more than 700 years before His birth.
To get going in like 5 minutes.
Okay, sure. I appreciate the time you've given me. He lived a perfect life for some 33 years on earth, a life that you and I can't possibly live. Because even if we live that life from this moment forward, it doesn't erase what we've already done, right? And then at a time appointed before the foundation of the world, He voluntarily went to a cross. He suffered and died a death He did not deserve, to take upon Himself the punishment you and I rightly deserve for our crimes against God, our sins. And then He forever defeated sin and death when He rose from the grave. And what God requires of all of us is not simply that we give intellectual assent to that truth and nod our head in agreement, but that we believe by faith that Jesus died on behalf of sinners like us, that we repent, we turn from our sin, and put our trust in Christ alone for our salvation. And if God does that work in us, when we stand before God, instead of seeing nothing but our sin and our violation of His law, He'll see instead the righteousness of His Son that covers us by His shed blood. So He'll let us go, not because Allie's a good person, not because Tony's a good person, but because of the goodness of God that would allow His Son to take our place and to fulfill the requirements of the law. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no more forgiveness of sin. There's no forgiveness of sin. And the Bible says it's not the blood of bulls and rams and goats or us that He's going to accept. The only sacrifice He'll accept is the sacrifice of His Son. So I can have assurance of salvation, not on the basis of anything I've done to earn it, but on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done on my behalf. So I put my hope and my trust in the promises of God, in the sacrifice of His Son, and not on me trying to live a good life or trying to perfectly obey the law, or trying to be religious enough, because I've already failed his standard. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before you leave, what do you think?
I think that it kind of aligns with still what I have thought previously. Uh-huh. I guess my definition of God just is a lot looser. I don't see it as, like, the definition, because I find, like, Catholicism and, like, other beliefs that, like, I've been raised with to be a little too ritualistic. And so I believe, like, a lot of time and energy is wasted within these rituals, such as, like, I believe congregating once a week and whatnot, going to Mass, like, that's fine, but it's not spent, like, the body of Christ and whatnot, and, like, all of that is a little too much overdone. My church spent $5,000 on a monstrance that they could have spent, you know, helping others.
Well, and you know what, Allie, that's the problem with religions that are created by men, whether it's Roman Catholicism or Islam or Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses. Mm-hmm. They're all systems that are based on a works righteousness, mm-hmm. that we have to work our way into God's good graces. Mm-hmm. That's why the Roman Catholic Church created the idea of purgatory, mm-hmm. because their system, the way their system works, there's no way you can ever do enough. Mm-hmm. So then you got to go suffer in a place called purgatory for X million of years, mm-hmm. until you work it off. But there's just never any working it off. Mm-hmm. And so that's oppressive. Mm-hmm. And it's the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
Man says, if I try really, really hard to please God, then God's going to accept me. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, because of our sin, there's nothing we can do to please God. That's what makes his grace so amazing. That while all we deserve is his wrath against our sin, mm-hmm. he sent his son to take that wrath so that we can receive his grace and his mercy.
Yeah.
Freely, as a gift, not as a work. If you were my daughter, I have a daughter here on campus. If you were my daughter, Allie, and you said, Dad, let's say you were my neighbor. And you say, Tony, I'm gonna clean your house so that I could be your daughter. I'm going to smile and say, well, I appreciate you wanting to clean my house. And I'm touched that you want to be my daughter. Mm-hmm. But Allie, cleaning my house is never going to make you my daughter. Mm-hmm. But if you were my daughter and you said, Dad, I'm going to clean the house today. No, you're not going to be getting a call from the dean at the school. No, I don't want the keys to the car. No, I don't want the debit card. Dad, I love you. And I'm just going to clean the house today as an expression of my love for you. That'd make most men weep. Sadly, man-made religion teaches that if we clean the house enough, God's going to adopt us as one of his children. That we're going to work our way into being one of his children. The reality, though, is that if by faith we are adopted into his family through faith in Christ, we'll want to do those things to please him, not to earn his love, not to keep his love, but because we're so grateful for the love that he gave us. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between a genuine saving faith, mm-hmm. and a man-made religion that leads only to oppression.
Gotcha. I have to
Allie, I really appreciate your time. God bless you. Thanks for talking to me.